We have an opportunity to welcome Agriculture and Forestry Minister, as well as our appointed hockey insider, Minister Devin Dreeshen, back to the hot seat. And Minister, great to have you back.
Always a pleasure to be on your show, Kenny.
Awesome. So I guess right off, Minister, we'll jump into some of the announcements, because you know what? Since the last time we chatted, you've been very busy. And the latest one is the announcement involving Invest Alberta, as well with offices, international offices in Mexico, Singapore, expanding markets for Alberta's agricultural products. Talk about how this is going to help.
Yeah, we made the announcement just west of Edmonton with the Premier and MLA Mark Smith, and it was just to highlight the importance of exports to our agriculture sector, that whether it's canola or wheat, there's so much is dependent on exports. About 80% of most of what we grow here and raise here in the province gets exported. So we have 4 international trade offices right now as a province around the world, and we've now doubled that capacity. So we're now going to be in key markets like Singapore, and opening up a new office in Europe as well, and a new one in the United States, to make sure that we can A, promote our products in these key areas, but also to attract investment back here in Alberta. So it's a doubling of our foreign presence to try to expand our export opportunities.
Okay, and I guess in terms of that, like those particular areas where you talked about the United States, also we see Mexico, Singapore, also, and all these different locations. Is there any specific reason, like why these locations would stand out, say, over other things? Is there more of a market there, say, in other place than in other places?
Yep, those are our strong markets already. So we do have great rapport in them, but there are also some emerging ones with Singapore, and it's something that we know that we compete on a global stage, and there are other countries around the world, whether they're Australia or New Zealand, that are trying to go into these high-value markets, and we want to make sure we have our presence and we're able to outcompete.
Awesome. Now, I guess the next one comes down to smart agricultural research, in which you and Minister Schweitzer, who's a regular on this show, co-announced $1 million towards OLDS for smart agricultural research. And, you know, we're starting to see a lot of new trends there. I know a farmer and a father-son farmer combo in Saskatchewan came out with an app where you take a picture of 100 strips of seed of canola, and within 8 to 10 seconds it could give you a seed grade. That's just one thing that's coming out here. Do you see that there's more of an opportunity for agriculture expansion? Because I know that some farmers had said that some agriculture technology is in, quote, the Stone Age, and I know that quite a few people here are looking for some innovation. Is there going to be even more coming up?
Well, Minister Schweitzer and I, the newly minted Jobs, Economy, and Innovation Minister, we were talking about you, Kenny, about
attaboy.
Our sports conversation. But, it was really important, I thought, to announce and to highlight the investment that we made was $200,000 to help bridge a group from Silicon Valley, their Thrive Venture Capital down in the States, that want to have a place here in Canada, and they chose Alberta to be their hub. And so ultimately they're connecting venture capitalists from Silicon Valley to invest in startups here in Alberta. And like you said, there's awesome, really cool announcements of entrepreneurs that have really good ideas, and it helps them commercialize and to get set up to have that commercial reality. And we've heard specific companies that they put a tester, just a sample on an end of an auger that would actually tell you what your grain actually is, rather than having to compete with a pail to go out and get a sample and go into a grain test shed and to figure out what it is. So there's a lot of really neat technology that are great ideas, and it takes venture capital to make them become reality. So Olds College, and the government of Alberta, they have been partnering on a lot of innovative, great research ideas to really launch agriculture.
Awesome. And I guess the good thing about it is, always, is that, I mean, if there was one positive, I guess, that you could say, Minister Dreeshen, that came from the pandemic, is the fact that is that more things are going online. So even though it is Olds College, there's an opportunity now, I guess, because of the expansion of that, for people even in the Alberta's Northwest to really learn some of these new tools and new trends, isn't there?
Exactly. And Olds, they're actually putting in a global footprint. They're working with other institutions around the world to try to promote what they do there in Olds and to get ideas from other places. So that is a weird thing that has happened with COVID and everybody spending a lot more time in front of a computer, is you do get that interconnectivity rather than having to be face-to-face.
Definitely. And also, National Forest Week, and I know that definitely is going to be mean something special to you as a minister. And I just was looking at your Twitter feed before coming in, and you were pointing out some of the approximately 40 to 45 Alberta firefighters who went down to Oregon to help out, including three from our own region right here in Peace River that partaked in that. We even had a chance to have one of them on the show who was down there talking about his experiences in Oregon. And you know what, that's just, I guess, something that it happens, is that it just seems like, and we've seen it happen before with the Black Summer in Australia, where when Albertan firefighters are asked to come out and help, there is no hesitation. It's like, when should we be there?
Yeah, you can't be more proud of an Albertan to see our brave firefighters going into the most dangerous places around the world when they're asked and when they're needed. And it's just, it's great to see, you know, all the guys that went down there. They're scheduled to come back some tomorrow and the day after, but because they have to shift out. But it's just, you know, incredible to see the outpouring of support for them to go down there. As you mentioned, out the U.S. Embassy officials in Ottawa that have family out west in the U.S. Did a video to just say thank you to all the Canadian firefighters that went out there to help, you know, their families and their communities in the Western U.S. So it kind of puts shivers up your spine to see how great and brave our men and women are.
And this one I want to put by you, and this will probably give you a little bit more of a sense of a pride, Minister, is that when I was talking to one of our wildfire management officers who was down there, Todd Lynch, and one of the things that I had asked him about is, what was the reception like for you down there? And he's like, wow, it's like we were celebrities, there was applause, people were lining up, can I buy you supper, can I buy you this? And when you hear that they're given that kind of royal treatment when they're coming down to help, and obviously as heartwarming as they were, the big focus is that I appreciate it, but we have a job to do. But when you know that they're getting that kind of treatment from the locals down there, that's got to even bring a little tear to your eye.
Yeah, well, and even I helped, or I sent off a bunch of, or was there at the airport when about 16 firefighters went to Quebec to help in their bad fire season. And it was really nice just to even hear some of the firefighters saying, hey, thanks for giving a darn to coming out and seeing us off and to, you know, actually care about what we do. Because that's, at the end of the day, politics is politics, but when you're actually going out helping and protecting people's communities and their lives and their livelihoods, that's what really matters.
Amen. Nothing partisan about that at all. And I guess there's also, unfortunately, an ugly side of wildfires. And this is going back several weeks, actually. And that was the wildfire that was the fire that was in the Camrose area, or Canmore area, I should say, where it turns out that at least an investigation revealed that fire could have been human-made. And I guess when you hear stories like this, I guess just a reminder to people, be safe out there. And if you're caught, you could be in serious trouble.
Yeah, and when you compare it to last year, we had 2 million acres burnt in the province. Our officials found out about 71% of all the fires that were caused here last year were human caused. This year, even though the amount of acres that have burnt is way less, about 80% of the fires that have happened so far this year were caused by people, whether that's an OHV or a left campfire or a burn barrel. So it really is something that, you know, we had cool, wet weather. We hired more firefighters here in the province of Alberta to make sure we could do initial attack to put out fires by 10 a.m. the next day. So we did everything we could to try to limit our fire risk this year. But ultimately, you know, avoidance and making sure we can go out and have, you know, educate people to make sure that they can, you know, have their fires in a safe way so that it doesn't spread into something more serious is always important.
And I guess that, needless to say, if somebody's caught with, in terms of negligence or anything like that, or that kind of thing is determined, just so people are more aware of it, that there are some pretty heavy and serious fines if anybody's caught being negligent, I understand.
Yeah, and arson fines are huge, but even just negligent. Lots of people, they'll start a fire and they'll not even think that they did it. And it's something that you always have to be extra cautious to make sure that you are putting out fires that you're having. Because there can be financial consequences too, but at the end of the day, nobody wants to burn a forest down and be responsible for it. So it is something that just a greater awareness is something that we always push from a government side to people to say, go out, enjoy our outdoors. They're beautiful. They're amazing. They're ours, but make sure you keep them safe for generations to come.
Definitely. And also, I guess one thing we could talk about as well, and I saw that this is some recent news from the United States, the A2A rail, which received a presidential permit this week from President Donald Trump. And you know what? In saying that, though, I mean, everyone, I'm sure, has an opinion on the United States president. But in terms of approving the Keystone XL pipeline and now approving the A2A rail, those are two decisions made by the U.S. administration that really are benefit to Albertans, isn't it?
These are massive market access corridors that mean so much to the province of Alberta. To be able to reverse the previous U.S. president's veto on Keystone XL, to make sure that we could actually have that pipeline go down to tidewaters down in the U.S. Gulf Coast is so important. And then ultimately, this A2A, it's still a long way to go. Keystone XL is actually being built right now, pipes going into the ground. But this A2A rail line expansion and that new corridor up into Alaska, it's fantastic. We have so many resources here in the province of Alberta. Just on the oil side, we have about $10 trillion worth of oil. We're the fifth largest oil producer in the world, the third largest known oil reserve. But we have to get it to tidewater. And if it's landlocked here, it's not worth anything. We had to do the most ethical production of oil and gas in the world. And we need to make sure we can get it to global markets, and that means we got to get it to tidewater. So I'm excited about this new presidential permit and allowing this rail line, this market access corridor, to go up to the Pacific Ocean through Alaska. It's exciting, and right now, there as a province, we haven't gotten the ask to financially support it, but I know we're 100% behind the proponents that are trying to make this a reality.
Now, this is kind of something a little bit interesting because I know that through various conversations with different ministers since I've been out here almost a year now, and I know one issue was that the Canadian government sometimes can be accused of landlocking our resources. Do you find it a little bit ironic that in terms of getting Alberta's resources to tidewater, that it seems like you're almost getting more support from south of the border than you are from your own country?
Yeah, when you look at Energy East, that would have put Canadian oil and Canadian refineries on the East Coast, on the Atlantic Ocean, and it would have been a huge opportunity, not just for Alberta, but also for the eastern parts of this country as well. And two, there's a lot of Canadians that would rather see their oil and their energy mix be from Canada rather than from Saudi Arabia or Russia or dictatorships around the world. So
Definitely.
It is something that, you know, we try and our premier tries every day to make sure that not just Ottawa, but other provinces realize the amazing blessing that we have here in Alberta with our energy resources, and know that they're Albertans, but all of Canada benefits when we can develop them.
All right, awesome. Now, I guess a little bit of hockey talk with you. I can't ha not have you on here and not throw out some things out there. So overall, your thoughts on what the hockey we saw in the bubble, and did you expect that Tampa Bay was going to win the Cup?
Well, they got an impressive team, and when Stamkos came back, it was pretty impressive. On his first shot, he scored. I wasn't that kind of hockey player, but I'm glad Tampa won. They've been an incredible team for a long time. Their coach is an amazing, amazing fellow that has ties to the Premier. I think his father coached him in Notre Dame. But no, it's happy for the Bolts, and just as a plug for the province for the bubble, you know, that was a huge success of no one getting COVID in the bubble in downtown Edmonton. So overall, obviously, would have wished a different team would have won. But yeah,
Yeah,
congratulations.
same here.
Yeah, congratulations to the Bolts, and hopefully next year the Oilers can pull it around.
Now, here's actually one thing that I found out, and this may not be so good for the Oilers. And I remember at one point I saw a survey done of various hockey agents. Now, this is just before Winnipeg, the Atlanta team moved back to Winnipeg. And one of the things that they said was that Edmonton, when players have no trade clauses, that's the most amount of actual no te that's the team that has the most amount of no trades on their list. And they were even talking a rumor about Oliver Ekman-Larsson, the big superstar from the Coyotes. And apparently the rumor is that he's not even he would use his no trade clause to not let that happen. That's got to be frustrating, I guess, as an Oilers fan when you got players like the with there's certain players who just insist they don't want to be there.
Yeah, and it's always tough. It's always been a, you know, why a lot of the warmer climate teams always seem to get some of the better players. But I think it is something that, you know, we do a great job of promoting hockey, and it's such an amazing hockey town. that's got to count for something for these players that really just love the game and want to play in a awesome hockey market.
Yeah, that's what pretty much the sell job would have to be in Montreal, although the counter argument to that is that that's actually the highest tax jurisdiction in the NHL, which could be a tough sell on its own. So I can appreciate the problems. Also, sometimes when you have two languages, some players sometimes don't understand. But it's one of those things that I find out that once they get to an Edmonton or a Montreal or a smaller market, these players really end up loving it, don't they?
Yeah, and too, you know, from what I've always heard is, you know, you have some of these young guys that are, you know, they're almost kind of at the peak of their, you know, their hockey career, that if they have, you know, those types of trade clauses, they want to go to teams and try to, you know, do everything they can to win the cup. So it's always tough to hear too, but he's a great guy to watch for sure.
Awesome. Well, Minister, we always thank you for taking the time. Always thank you for the input and as well the hockey talk as well. Minister Devin Dreeschen, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. Take care.
This is Devin Dreeschen, Minister of Agriculture and Forestry and the Kicks FM River Country Hockey Insider, and this is The Hot Seat.